How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern with me. It's Sunday. I'm here. And we have an entire week's worth of professional wrestling to talk about. I'm excited to be here each and every week. You know, I look forward to Sundays at 6. It's a fun little treat for me. This is never work. This is easy. This is fun. But we do have a lot to talk about, obviously, here today. Big story going into the weekend. Antonio Inoki passes away at 79 years old. Legendary professional wrestler, legendary professional promoter, professional wrestling promoter, a senator in Japan. Very political in his later years. We're going to talk about that with Matt Ryan and the impact Inoki had. You know, the good and the bad. Inokiism. A lot of conversations about the harm he did to New Japan, his ability to see that MMA was the future of combat sports, but unfortunately didn't integrate it properly, or he should have never integrated it into professional wrestling. A lot to talk about. I know Matt Ryan's a big MMA fan. Obviously, he's a little bit more well-equipped to talk about the impact of Antonio Inoki. I'm going to bring him in right after the break here. Also, Triple H is NXT. His roster is now on the main roster. The NXT that we knew and loved, a lot of those guys are on Raw and SmackDown, but how is it working out for them? We're going to talk about that also. Chris Jericho, the Ring of Honor, World's Heavyweight Champion, defended against Bandido. Very interesting to see that match happen. Very interesting to see Chris Jericho. But the big story here is, why does he have the title? What is this leading up to? Is it a pay-per-view buy rate that they want to blow through the roof? Or is this to prepare them for television? Are they in negotiation for television? This is only going to help them. We're going to talk about that also. And everything else happening in professional wrestling this week. You know, Dynamite, okay show. Raw, okay show. SmackDown, okay show. It was a fun week of wrestling. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Matt Ryan, Catalyst Wrestling, joining me here on Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here on a Sunday evening. Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, depending on where you are. Boy, am I glad to be here today. I'm joined by Matt Ryan, a good pal of mine. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, friend. Glad to be back on the program and talk the prograps with everybody.
2 weeks in a row you're here.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a theme. I'm the 97th most popular person in the Wrestling Observer universe in terms of broadcasting. I'm somewhere in between the Noid and Grimace. I just don't know the particular order.
We'll figure it out eventually. We'll figure it out. I thought it's a great week to bring you on because there's a lot of MMA topics within pro wrestling. Obviously, Daniel Cormier is a guest referee. I'm very curious on where this leads because Cormier has shown tremendous interest in professional wrestling over the years. And, of course, Antonio Inoki, you know, a pioneer in the business, a pioneer in the industry, really. I don't know if I would have been tape trading if it wasn't for Antonio Inoki. His New Japan influence obviously was tremendous. And it goes on and on, you know, passing away 79 years old. Obviously people knew his health was not great the last couple years, but Matt, I want to talk to you about this, you know, the influence of Inoki on pro wrestling.
Yeah, you go back the last 50 years, New Japan celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, and the day before Inoki died was his 60th wrestling anniversary. So within the first 10 years of his career, not only did he learn under Ricky Dozan and in the JWF, which is the original Japanese wrestling promotion that was associated with the NWA, he broke off from JWF. There was a whole bunch of controversy and a big power struggle between him and Giant Baba, which is why All Japan Pro Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling exist. There's a lot smarter people than me who have a lot deeper understanding, especially here on The Observer, about the build and the, you know, the metamorphosis of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But Inoki's style, what Inoki did to bring wrestling over to the United States, he was, as you said at the top of the show, one of the fathers of MMA. Not only his implementation of Inokiism a little bit later on, but him against Muhammad Ali could be considered the first mixed martial 76. Arts match.
You know, yeah, it's funny 1976. Because my, you know, just some people around me. We had people over last night at my house. We had a fall party with the family. And a lot of, you know, the guys in the family that were familiar with wrestling, they recognized the name of Antonio Inoki. And the first thing they said was, didn't he fight Muhammad Ali? That is, to them, that is what they remember him by. To me, that is the reality is that is a not even a thing like that I seek to find when I was younger. And I always found that interesting that for many people, that is a very memorable moment. It didn't do well, that pay-per-view. I think Vince had invested money. It was a couple of promoters investing money and didn't do great at all. But to a lot of people, they very much remember that. I don't. It hasn't, you know, way before my time. I just know Inoki as the father of, you know, New Japan at that time.
Yeah, it was on closed circuit, a whole bunch of territories, including WWF at the time, would run major events around that and show the fights afterward. That one in Shea Stadium in New York, I believe the undercard featured Andre the Giant versus Chuck Wepner, where Andre won, I believe, by countout, and Bruno Sammartino versus Stan Hansen, Bruno's first match from coming back after having his neck broken by Hansen. A few months, if not a year prior. So there's a great book out there about this fight and about all the things that went into it. And it's just so a weird combination of things and times. You have Vince McMahon Jr. Was one of the promoters and one of the people behind it, Vince McMahon Sr. as well, because they ran that huge show at Shea Stadium. But Inoki's ability to be a draw in the United States. Like, his name carried weight, and he had a quote-unquote run with the WWF title that was acknowledged and not acknowledged over the past couple of years. The same thing with Baba and the NWA title, or Jack Veneno and the NWA title in the 1970s and 80s.
I'll always recognize Jack Veneno as the world heavyweight champion of the National Wrestling Alliance, okay?
Okay. You know what? I got God bless you for it. And also, you gloating about having family and parties. Look at you, fancy boy with a life.
Listen, what do you want me to do? You know,
I don't know.
I gotta have people over.
Be as sad as me. I don't know.
Be as sad as you. I choose not to. But you know, this kind of leads into the bad years of New Japan.
Yeah.
What would you say? 2002 to 2005. 2001 to 2005. When did?
Yeah, I like the early 2000s. I think that whole period for pro wrestling for larger companies kind of hit this weird, really big patch of black ice because the WWE started a downtrend, you know, WCW and ECW going out of business, and a lot of that talent not being able to facilitate across the world, and just MMA really taking hold in Japan. Pride, from the moment of their first show, completely dominated the Japanese sports landscape and became the number one promotion in mixed martial arts for a long period of time. It was until a whole bunch of other things came out, which involved Inoki, allegedly, that brought its downfall and its eventual purchase by the UFC, who became the de facto number one.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. You know, Dave, obviously we'll have it in the Observer. And he'll do a fantastic job at breaking this down and the impact of Inoki. But, you know, he was Inoki, Vince, you know, that's a very different generation of wrestling promoter. Obviously, Inoki has not been promoting wrestling for some time now. But this is a, you know, it's a transitionary time in the business. And this is more symbolic than anything else. But you have to also look at the positive of professional wrestling, the style that Inoki pushed out there. You could see it firsthand and the influence that, you know, Inoki has had on the industry. With the guys like Nakamura, you know, and the impact of that strong style, would that have been in place if it wasn't for people like Inoki?
Oh, no. You know, him and Baba created the definitive styles of Japanese pro wrestling. And a lot of that turned into the modern American style of independent wrestling. You can't take anything away from what Antonio Inoki did for the business of professional wrestling and did for the business of Antonio Inoki. There were several points where the business of Antonio Inoki took precedent over the business of New Japan Pro Wrestling. There's a great book on Amazon that I can't remember the title of because my short-term memory is garbage. But a great history of New Japan and a lot of great podcasts out there and a lot of great articles about what actually happened and led to the numerous downfalls of New Japan while Antonio Inoki was in charge. Because Inokiism was the second time where he had to abdicate office and New Japan had to reinvent itself without Antonio Inoki being at the front of it. And he retired in 1998 from in-ring competition, but he steered the path of that company until his position in power became untenable.
Very interesting stuff. By the way, let me ask you this. What was the first tape, first Japanese tape trading, tape that you got possession of?
I was never really a tape trader. I'm a little younger than a lot of our peers. Yeah, I didn't have that. I had, the torrenting era. But
yes.
I remember...
Much better than the tape trading era, let me tell you that.
Yeah, less costly.
Less but costly learning, and better quality.
But the first time I really interacted with Japanese pro wrestling was Great American Bash 1992. There was the tag team tournament. And also around that time, Masahiro Chono started showing up in WCW. That was my first real memory of that. Obviously, the great Muda, but this was before I even knew what a New Japan was. And Muda wasn't Muda yet in Japan. And also Starrcade 95. That was the great thing about WCW, which is what AEW is trying to do now in 2022, was giving American wrestling fans at a time where... If you weren't a tape trader or, an older wrestling fan, you didn't know about New Japan. Like, you would read the magazines.
No. I had older cousins, and they were obviously big into wrestling. And one of my cousins, he would get the tape. First tape I ever had. You want to guess?
Super J Cup.
Misawa Kawada.
Ooh.
93 was the first tape I had. First nice. Match, first Japanese match I probably really saw, and I was blown away that these men are really hitting each other that hard.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to come back, go into a break. We're going to come back right after this and a lot more pro wrestling to talk about here on Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian, Sunday edition. Matt Ryan joining me. Matt, look at me. I'm like the hitman.
Ugh.
Look at this. Nobody on the radio could see me.
Why are you acting like someone who carries a replica belt to a show anticipating a defense?
Look at me. I'm like the hitman. You know, he never gave me one of these as a kid. He never got one.
Yeah, because people like us were sitting in section 325 at the Garden. And in the Nassau Coliseum, even if you sat in the first four rows, it was still a nightmare. Worst major building I ever sat in.
Nassau Coliseum? Nassau Coliseum.
Trash.
Always.
Trash.
There is a clip of me, okay? You'll find this. 1999. Somebody will find this. It's on the Peacock, okay? 1999 is the SmackDown. I want to say it's sometime in October. They're at the Nassau Coliseum. I am front row that entire show behind Jerry Lawler and...
Michael Cole.
Yeah, Michael Cole was calling it. And it was the night Draws broke his neck.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was at the Coliseum.
I was front row for that, and it was a moment. Shane ran out, Bruce ran out. Wild, wild scene. And this was all before the show started, I think.
That was during the taping of the show. SmackDown wasn't live back then.
It was a taping for SmackDown or a taping for Heat.
It was a SmackDown taping. It was a SmackDown taping. I was there when Austin broke his neck at SummerSlam 97. That was a little surreal. I was also there when Mae Young gave birth to the hand.
Oh, well, you experienced... I saw Muda twice in my life. You got to see the hand being birthed.
I'm going to go to your house and fight you. But that was the second weirdest thing that happened that night, and that'll lead us into our conversation about Extreme Rules.
Yes.
A guy dressed like Raven fought two stockbrokers in our section, jumped down the stairs like Sting, just jumped in the old garden, just hopped down the stairwell and just started punching these two dudes while two other stockbroker bros were protecting me and my mother at the time.
Oh my gosh. Well, that seems like a very appropriate crowd for that venue.
Yes.
I have to say. Talk about Raven. Our friend Kyle, our buddy Kyle, he, in a drunken moment a couple of weeks ago at my house, an hour, he started professing his love for Raven to my wife and told my wife about all the reasons why Raven is so cool. Raven's cool because of his hair. Raven's cool because of his jacket. And my wife's like, what is happening right now? And she's like, I don't see it. She goes, how do you not see it? And he's like doing the arm pose loaded. Everybody's drunk. My wife did not get it whatsoever. And Kyle left very upset that she did not appreciate the love for Raven as... I was like, I don't even know who a Raven is. I don't know what a Raven is.
I do the same thing, but with Johnny Polo.
With Johnny Polo. There you go. Daniel Cormier will be the guest referee for the Fight Pit match at Extreme Rules. This is, you know, Cormier has been teasing, or flirting, I should say, with entering the world of pro wrestling. This would be a big moment for him. Mm-hmm. Being in the ring, obviously Matt Riddle, an MMA fighter. The last Fight Pit match, he lost to Timothy Thatcher, of all people. How do you think they're going to use Cormier here? Listen, don't screw up Cormier, because I don't think people, if you are not a MMA fan, I don't think you are familiar with the talent that this guy has.
Bro, it's going to lead to Brock and Cormier. Like, that fight.
It's going to happen, but.
It was supposed to happen in the UFC. Yeah, it was supposed to happen in the UFC a long time ago, but Brock stayed in the WWE. Cormier retired a little after his title fight run, losing the title in the way he did in the second fight against Stipe Miocic.
Miocic.
Yeah, this is the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
For me, this is, as an MMA fan and as a Daniel Cormier fan, really exciting to see what they do with him.
Oh, me
hopefully,
too. Me too.
Hopefully it's better than what they did with Kane Velasquez. For the conceit they're bringing him in, I could see this turning into him feuding with Rollins or setting up for something the next night on Raw. I don't know what the main event of this show is, but this has got the heat, even though, you know, there's no Roman Reigns match on this pay-per-view. I'm sorry, premium live event.
Premium PLE. There's no... Thank you.
Yes,
WWE gets
PLE.
Very upset. I get the memos every time we call it a pay-per-view. they buzz me. And they're like, what are you doing? It's a PLE. Haven't you gotten a memo? And I said, the last memo you guys sent, you said it was going TV-14. I don't listen to a thing anymore. And they never spoke to me again. That was the last conversation I had. There you go. I'm very interested. I mean, Cormier, listen, 43 years old. I don't know if he's ever trained for pro wrestling. I could be wrong. But
well, he's got all the skills.
He
can
does.
Talk.
He's a savant.
He's an NCAA champ, you know, champion level wrestler, Olympic level wrestler. He is probably one of the best. He's probably top five heavyweights all time in the UFC. Top five light heavyweights. Could never get past John Jones, but he's someone who, if he came into the WWE 10 years ago,
oh, Cormier?
He'd be the guy. He'd be the guy right now. It'd be him and Roman because he's got all the
talented.
Intangibles.
Yeah, shockingly talented, great on the mic. Unfortunately for him, you know, he lost to John Jones twice and he didn't really lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he got cooked. He ended up getting the no contest.
The no contest. I know. He did get cooked, but he got the no contest. Two unbelievable fighters. I'm very excited to see. Maybe they do something with Riddle, you know? Maybe that's a match. You know, Riddle gets kind of worked up that he lost and Cormier, you know, missed the whatever that happened, whatever schma's ending, and all of a sudden he pushes Cormier. Cormier goes to push him, and now you have a match in Saudi Arabia. Daniel Cormier and Matt Riddle.
No, if you're doing it in Saudi, it's gonna be Lesnar Cormier.
You think Lesnar? Well, I'm
unless they do
it.
It at Mania. What? Brock's allegedly coming back. Brock's been in the marketing materials for the Rumble. What else do you have Brock and Cormier eliminate each other at the Rumble? There's a lot of variables there, but I don't think Crown Jewel with the main event it has, and I'm legitimately excited to see what happens in that match because Roman Reigns is going to put on a performance of a decade because of what he's going to have to do in
what
that
he,
match.
Exactly, what he has to do in that match, not yeah. what he... will. What he has to put on a performance of a decade because... He's going up against someone that is very new. He's going in there. Logan Paul is going in there with a lot of attention based on his last two performances. And I have to tell you guys, dude, he was great.
He can go. The amateur wrestlers will always have a leg up because they understand a lot of the technique and
the
grappling portion of it. The bumping is different. The slant, you know, the pro wrestling parts of it are different. But when you're a Kurt Angle, when you are a Daniel Cormier, when you are a Logan Paul, and you have that natural charisma and unparalleled athleticism, despite Daniel Cormier looking as in shape as me at various points of his career in my life. He is a high-level athlete who can last 25 minutes fighting another human being in insane circumstances.
No, I agree with you. Very, very ultra-high talent, individual. SmackDown, we got a new QR code for the White Rabbit. It all but confirms it's Bray Wyatt with a hidden audio message, a video played.
I still think it's Baron Mikel Cicluna, my cousin Rodrigo. He doesn't let me down.
He knows. He's in catering. He knows everything.
Yeah.
A video played with shots of an early Porky. It wasn't Porky Pig. I'm sorry. It was the three little pigs that my kids watch on loop. That little one. I guess from like the 40s.
Fair use. Yeah. It's a fair use cartoon.
It's always. It's like the original. Three little pigs with the big bad wolf.
Yeah.
They showed a slaughterhouse. They showed a Little Red Riding Hood wolf image.
What happens if this just leads to Joe Budden being the White
Joe
Rabbit?
Budden?
Yeah.
He was in
Slaughterhouse.
He knows
he knows how to ruin business relationships, so it could be him.
I got to tell you, though. It has to be Bray now. And I brought this up. Somebody said, what if it's Sasha? Okay? And I brought up an analogy here, right? I love cheesecake, okay? I also love the baked Alaska. I'm expecting a baked Alaska for my birthday, not a cheesecake. Love them equally. However, if I'm given a cheesecake, I'm going to be a little bit more I'm going to be disappointed that I got a cheesecake because all I wanted and expected was a baked Alaska. You also left me hints, like a map to Australia, to Alaska. If you left me a map to Australia, that would be a problem, right? I'd be very confused. But you would have, I find this to be very interesting because people are very speculative and that's the fun thing here. But who else could it be outside of Bray that would leave people happy? Not really much, right?
I don't know. It could, if it were,
No knock at Sasha, by the way.
Don't knock at Sasha in the least bit.
Nah. I absolutely adore her as a pro wrestler. I want to see her back on TV. This is not her.
You would be as disappointed as Kenny Williams and Oliver Smith are right now, but that's, that's their problem.
That's their problem.
But if it was anybody else but Bray Wyatt, it would be a huge letdown because we're all expecting it, and we like we all know the end of the story, but the chase has become fun, and we don't want it to lead into a letdown because a lot of these builds lead to anticlimactic things or anticlimactic announcements. We always knew it was Jericho coming back with the code, but when it actually happened, we all went crazy because it was cool and it happened and we were all right. We just want to be right for once.
Well, this is kind of like reminiscent. Remember when everybody thought Sting was coming back with the Undertaker vignettes years ago?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it has to be Sting. Look, there was a bird. There was a crow. And it wasn't. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. All I'm saying is I expect Bray. You should expect Bray too. Yeah. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live. Andrew Zarian here. Matt Ryan from Catalyst Wrestling.
Hello.
That was fun.
We're the Sultans of Sartorial Swing, as it were.
Yeah. Great song. Chris Jericho defended the RA Championship against Bandito. Now, you as someone that is, at one point you were associated with Ring of Honor.
Indeed. I called matches for Ring of Honor.
You called matches for
probably
Ring of
find
Honor.
On the internet.
I'm sure it's somewhere. Did you, on that bingo sheet, okay?
Yeah.
That 2022 bingo sheet. Did you ever have Chris Jericho wins the Ring of Honor World's Heavyweight Championship and defends against Bandito on TBS? Anywhere
I
on
did-
that bingo?
No, I think I said this on the show last week, if you said the ROH world title would be defended on Turner Broadcasting Systems at any point before, this year, I would have slapped you in the face and chased you down the block with a boat paddle.
Brian does that prediction show every year, right?
Yeah.
And that is one of my favorite shows. I've listened to it for years, and I always love to hear the crazy outcomes that happen, right? And there's so many this year that have happened. One being the first one of the year, and that's Cody leaving AEW as an EVP and going back to WWE. Another one is Vince McMahon being ousted by WWE for the allegations against them. I guess it's less allegations. It's fact now, a lot of it.
You know what I think it is? this is the first full year of wrestling returning to nature, or returning to what it was.
Yeah.
And this is the hard reset of coming out of that. We're seeing that across the world, across the country, just with how the world is kind of getting back to quote-unquote normal.
Yeah.
This is that being applied in pro wrestling. So many things are happening. A lot of these guys were in the same location, cooped up for a while, and then traveling again every single week, going across the country, across the roads. We're seeing people kind of just get tired of the grind, or these old or different kinds of rivalries popping out. And I think it's indicative of that as much as anything.
No, tremendous change in the business, right? Tremendous change. You know, Hunter gaining control, Steph gaining control, Tony, you know, CM Punk losing his mind. And getting into a fist fight with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. I mean, this is all, you know, but I think you're right. We got 2 years, almost 3 years of consistent rest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back into the insanity of professional wrestling.
It's like saying someone's the type of person to be slapped and then looking at them in the face instead of across a keyboard. It's that reality setting back in for everybody. That's really the problem.
So Chris Jericho vows to defeat every former champion, right? So I guess this is going to be, this is cool. I'm into this, right?
Mark Sheamus coming back, baby. Let's go. Bring him back.
I don't think it's happening, but maybe, who knows?
Why you got to stomp on my dreams?
I'm sorry, because I want Bryan Danielson to beat him on the 12th.
Yes, I do as well, but that doesn't mean Morishima can't come back and crush Purple Velvet as the newest member of the Jericho Appreciation Society, and we run Morishima and Danielson back 15,000 times.
Listen, I know what
if you can't tell, I love that rivalry.
Morishima and Danielson?
Oh, it was so good. It was the best pro wrestling of that year by a wide margin.
What year was that, 05?
No, it was 04? Like 07, 08. It was like right before Danielson went to the WWE.
Very cool. So now he's facing, you know, Bryan Danielson for the title on Dynamite on the 12th. You know, where is this going, right? Because obviously it's going somewhere here. You have to have it go somewhere. There's a meaning behind this. You're not just putting the title on Chris Jericho just so he could be World Heavyweight Champion of Ring of Honor, right? You're putting the title on him to do something here, whether that's you're in negotiations, the TV deal's done, and you're trying to go into TV with something hot, you're trying to get the title on Danielson and go into a pay-per-view that's hot. There's a lot of benefits here of doing this, but there has to be a reason. I really hope the reason is not just, well, Jericho, we need to do something with Jericho. Let's put the title on him. I don't believe that's the case here.
No. No, they're really careful with belt passing for the most part, especially if it's a world championship, quote unquote.
Well, by the way, we don't know right now, right? Because a lot of everything is upside down over there from May on.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but when it comes to the ROH title, I think the elevation from Gresham to Claudio to Jericho feels planned. If not, that this was something that they were going to do down the line anyway, and they might have fired it a little earlier because of everything surrounding the company right now, and they needed a bit of an anchor to help keep the show locked in place and keep some feuds moving around. I feel that Danielson winning that belt eventually has to happen. I think that's the outcome of this feud. But for me, this is also a way to help leverage Daniel Garcia into the upper echelon, because now this week on Dynamite, it's him and Danielson against Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho. And, you know, they're kind of using Garcia the same way they used Ric Flair in late 1995. Him and Arn broke up, and now Danielson and Garcia are pairing up to take on Jericho and Sammy. I don't know if they're really going to bring Garcia into the Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know if that's how that's going to end up, or if it's all just a ruse to help make Garcia a bigger heel. Because we'll find out most likely on Wednesday. But they've been playing that hand a little too much with the will they, won't they of Garcia. So this really has to come to a crescendo on Wednesday. And if anything, during the title match on the 14th, because then you have Garcia screw Danielson over And this leads into, in 2023, hopefully a weekly Ring of Honor TV show where we can see these characters filter in and out.
Yeah, same thoughts here. Extreme Rules next week. On paper, guys, I'm not going to say this is a great pay-per-view, right? Because the last time I did that when I saw a card like this, it was a terrible pay-per-view. On paper, though, this seems like a really fun show. Yeah. Imperium and the Brawling Brutes. In a good old-fashioned Donnybrook six-man tag match.
Break out the back teen for that one.
I know. It's so ridiculous. You got Edge versus Finn Balor in an I Quit match. How could that be bad? Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross in a strap match. This is going to be very telling on what Karrion Kross is going to be able to do on the main roster. I think Drew wants to make Karrion work, and I think Karrion wants to make this work. Everybody wants to make this work this time around. So I expect this to be a very good match. Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins inside the fight pit with Daniel Cormier as a special guest referee. Now, you know, I like the fight pit concept when they did it in NXT. I thought it was a very unique change to a steel cage match.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they added a new element here.
And definitely something that I really enjoy about it is kind of the ode to the old Lion's Den setup. Someone shared that on Twitter today. Really big fan of integrating things that you see in MMA, but it's not MMA. It's still very much pro wrestling. And
also, we got a fight pit match on the main on a main WWE product. We got War Games next month on a main WWE product. Right? These are those little changes that we've all been speaking of.
I wouldn't consider these little changes. I would say this is the NXTification of the main roster. This is Triple H finally getting a chance to book the major TV. And so far, it's been a lot of shepherd work. It's been a lot of slow integration. You've been seeing his effects on the product with the QR codes, the introduction of Dexter Lumis to the main roster. You're seeing a lot of approach.
And by the way, here's the other thing, right? This is very similar to pre-Boom, right? And somebody brought this up to me that's over there. It's like, obviously, they're going to think that they're entering a Boom period because you work at WWE and you're not going to say we're not. But they said, you know, right before the Boom period, I don't think people remember all the different style matches we brought in, right? It was something different. You got Buried Alive matches. You got the Hell in a Cell.
Hog Pit match.
The Hog Pit match needs to come back. Yes. I think Hunter wants it. Didn't Hunter get a... He was against the Godwins.
They did it in NXT.
I think they did. By the way, also before I forget, on this card, Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair and Bayley in a ladder match. Okay.
That's be really good. That's going to be really good.
And you got SmackDown Women's Champion Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey, an Extreme Rules match. I'm very curious on where this goes. Is that the main event? Is that not the main event? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like deciding whether or not, like, there's so many matches on this card, it's hard to decide what the main event could be. You know, it's like picking a facial hairstyle. You know it's going to work for you because you're handsome, but you don't know whether or not it's the right move for that day, for that audience, for that card. So you might feel a little lazy and pick the biggest star on the card, which happens to be Ronda Rousey. But if it's the main event, if Liv Morgan's in the main event of that premium live event, that's going to have to be the best Liv Morgan match in her career. And this is not a slight, but it's that match helps them out a lot with the gimmicks and the weapons. But it all comes down to what that crowd energy is going to be like next Saturday.
The finish is Bray. Yeah. Right.
So that's could it? So maybe ending. The strap match. Maybe the strap match goes on last.
And maybe you have the fight pit. Like, there. Yeah.
If the word around the campfire is that the White Rabbit revealed Bray comes back at Extreme Rules, but how do you bring him back? Where on the card do you bring him back, and who do you feud him against? Is it Drew? Is it Cross? Is he a Raw guy, a SmackDown guy? Does that matter? Like, there's so many different pockets of this that make it fun, but also you're trying to figure out in your head, you're building out the logic in your head of what are they actually going to do with the guy when he shows up. Because the intro is going to... Coming back, he's going to get the pop.
You got to do something big because you can't have him just become a spooky guy and show up and then leave. You can't have him, you know, be set on fire again. You got to make it work. You can't, you know, the Fiend thing I was into. I got what they were trying to do. I have to tell you, a lot of people were into it. My kids loved it. It hit a demo and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked because of Bray. He's so masterful at everything he does as far as character development, and it worked. But, you know, how do you defeat whatever the Fiend was? You really can't. So do you humanize him a little bit? And, you know, people speculating it's an Alice in Wonderland gimmick and he's the Mad Hatter. I don't know. You gotta make it work. You gotta have it be spooky, obviously, but you also have to humanize him where you don't think where he could be defeated and it doesn't look dumb.
Yeah, you can't put him in the situation you did when you put the belt on him and led to that match with Goldberg or all the issues we had in the Seth Rollins feud. You can't create something too powerful. Because once you beat it,
what did they do to him? He lost in minutes, you know, right?
And the year before that, just think about what happened the year before that. He disappeared John Cena. That Firefly Funhouse match.
Still in the void, dude.
Yeah. And it was one of the, that WrestleMania was a really good WrestleMania. That's the funny thing is that WrestleMania was so fun over those two nights. And it was because of the Boneyard match, and it was because of the Firefly Funhouse match. Drew and Brock was still a fun match. That part of the pandemic was really interesting.
I think they did the best with what they had. And if we're comparing it like that, yeah, I would say it was a good WrestleMania for what they did. They did the best that they could in a very uncertain time in April, early on when all this was happening. And they had, they only had a couple of weeks. They hit the reset button here and start over. So very interesting stuff is going on. I'm hopeful it's Bray Wyatt on next Sunday. Next Saturday, I should say, for Extreme Rules. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live. Andrew Zarian here. Sunday edition. Final segment of the show. We're getting ready to wrap it up here. But, great song, by the way.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, great. That thrive, baby. We were doing Don Imus impersonations for like a good 2.5 minutes here on the commercial break. And then it turned into Scott Shannon somehow. Scott, what happened to your house?
I got a tree on my house.
There you go. If you know, you know.
Linger longer.
If you know, you know. I don't know, man. There's a lot going on. Obviously, Monday Night Raw. We got a couple of matches here lined up. There's a contract signing with Bianca Belair and Bayley for the Raw Women's Championship ladder match at Extreme Rules. Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins face off. They have a face-to-face. Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles versus Judgment Day. I want to see AJ back in the mix on the higher end here. Braun Strowman, Chad Gable. Go ahead.
No, I like the inclusion of him in this, drawing on the old Bullet Club gimmick. And trying to keep AJ in the mix. A lot of the rumors is that Finn's getting a big push coming up soon.
That is a rumor that I've heard personally. So we'll see. I hope they do something with him because now is an opportunity,
Yeah.
Now is the time.
I want to see
now
that as
can.
Much as the boat movie. Yeah.
You can connect. Johnny Gargano and Otis. Candice LeRae and Dakota Kai. I want to see this match. I'm excited for Candice.
That was an awesome return last week.
So.
It came out of nowhere. I heard the music and I was like, wait, no. And I had a legitimate like, oh, yay reaction.
Yeah, me too. I like those two.
Yeah, me too.
Fans of them, Candace and Johnny, good people. But, Monday Night Raw, we'll see what they do. Obviously, they're not going to do 2 million with football happening, but a lot of good wrestling this week. Matt, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ryan Yells. That's Matt Ryan Yells. You can watch Catalyst Wrestling every single Thursday on our YouTube channel. You can also buy VODs of the show completely uncensored for $10 at CatalystWrestling.com. We return with the Real Folk Blues in Brooklyn on Sunday, November 6th. For tickets and more information, go to CatalystWrestling.com and sign up to our mailing list so we can send you stuff.
Wonderful, wonderful. Guys, that's it for this week. You can follow me on Twitter at AdrianZarian. Send me your pro wrestling questions or comments, whatever you want to send me. I like hanging out with you guys. I like chatting with you guys. And we'll be back next Sunday on Wrestling Observer Live. See y'all next time.
Bye.